Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to tell you all. I've been battling with some sort of chest cold for a little bit of 2 weeks. I promise you I'm not contagious. And a little bit probably, my preaching style is starting to mess with my voice. But I cannot let the devil win. So I will try my best to be calm. But y'all know that, y'all know me a while now. I don't know how calm I can be. But I'm going to try my best because, like, I used to at least thought I could sing a little bit. But now with, I hope I haven't done damage to myself. Let me say it that way. But I am emphatic about preaching the Word of God. Man. I'm passionate about preaching the Word of God because I know that no matter where I go, no matter who I teach, there's somebody that needs to hear it. And because of that situation, I'm passionate about it. I don't care if it's one person sitting in the audience. I'm passionate about giving that person the ability to be able to save themselves through the salvation that is contained within the Word of God. And I just, again, thank you all for allowing me to come out and be able to speak to you all about the Word of God this morning. Definitely one of my favorite places to come because you all are just have been really, really good to me and my wife and my family, my church family. Like I said, the last time I was here, when I was in the hospital, you all sent a card, and that card was really uplifting to me and meant a lot to me. I have it in my office because I see you all have me and my wife's picture up over here. So I have you all up in my office as well. And I just love coming out here and speaking with you all. I know that Brad does too, Brother Harris does too. We often compare notes when we are passing each other because either he's here or I'm here and vice versa. And we both just love coming out here. My sermon title today is Have You Lost Your Bible? Have you lost the Word of God? And just again, in this world, and what we're looking at and the things that we're seeing transpire and go on, we know that the world has lost its Bible. The world has lost its mind, but definitely the world has lost its Bible. And we look at things being misplaced as not always detrimental or just maybe of happenstance, but we know that when we lose things, we are obligated to try to get ourselves together and go find those things. When you lose your keys, and who's lost their keys? Amen, somebody. Amen. And now, you know, cars don't even have keys anymore. Right. They got those little fob things. And if you lose that thing, you won't pay some money for that. You have to go to the dealership, and they're going to have to make you another one, and that's $200 and up. See, it was a time when you could just go down to the local store and get your key made to your car. And if you was from me, like, there was even this thing they used to advertise on TV where you could put this little box or something on your TV, you could clap like this, and then it would beep, and then your keys would beep. My grandmother had that, because my grandmother lost her keys all the time. And I was like the designated key finder. And I had to go and look for the, but see, in our lives, in our world, in this society, the Bible is something that is regarded as something of old fashioned, something that's not necessary anymore, something that's not needed. And this is how the world operates. This is how the world goes on. And I'm saying, like, just like grandmother used to use me to find the keys, I think it's time that we reinsert ourselves back into the world and help this world find the Word of God. Because it's sorely needed and it's definitely missing. So imagine an entire nation, one that claimed to be God's special people, losing his word. And I promise you that this did happen. An entire nation. We're talking about the nation of Israel. And it happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 14 through 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 14 through 19. We're going to go through a lot of the scripture here. It's going to be based on a lot of the scripture here because I promise you, they only thought they lost it. They only thought they lost their book. They only thought they lost the word of God. And see, that's what's going on again with the world. They think they've lost it or gotten rid of it, But you cannot get rid of a power like the word of God. God is going to exist, and he's going to exist long after this world is destroyed.
Amen.
So we move forward. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 14 through 19. And I'll read the scripture. It says that now, when they brought out of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law that was given by Moses. And then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, and said, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, all that was committed to your servants they are doing, and they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and they have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. And then Shaphan the scribe said to the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me the book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened when the king heard these words of the law that he tore his clothes. So what had happened is that they were going in to try to do repairs and rebuild the temple. Amen? They were trying to rebuild the temple. And then when they went in to try to do the repairs, somebody found the law of Moses. Now, the problem is that the children of Israel hadn't been in the temple in decades. They hadn't been inside the Lord's house in decades. So because of that fact, it wasn't that it was lost. It was where it always was supposed to be. They wasn't there. They were not where they were supposed to be. And doesn't that sound like the world? The world is not where it's supposed to be. The world is not where it's supposed to be spiritually, where it's supposed to be mentally. The word of God is not lost. We are the ones that are lost.
Amen.
And that's why in Luke, the Bible says in Luke 19, verse 10, that we are to do what? Seek and save who? The lost. Who is the lost? Us. We are the ones that's lost, not the word.
Mm-hmm.
And then let me just give you some information about the scripture that we are reading. It will be helpful for us to understand these things. The stage is set for Josiah. This is under the rule of King Josiah in the year of 639 B.C. Josiah is the king of Judah, and he is ruling Jerusalem, as it is mentioned in 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings. Josiah is the son of King Amon and the grandson of King M-A-N-A-S-S-E-H, and with whom the corrupt kings of Judah, they were both corrupt, King Amon and King Messanah, I hope I'm saying that right,
okay.
Both of these kings are corrupt, they are bad kings, they misrule the people, they don't rule the people well, and they certainly don't rule according to God. They rule the people like they want to rule them. So Josiah came into being a king as a young person. I want to say he was about 8 to 10 years old. And the northern 10 tribes of Israel were his kingdom. And then at the time that the king tried to take over the rule, then what had happened is that he commissioned that they go in and rebuild the temple. Because the temple had been destroyed through war and neglect, just like now. Just like when you see a lot of these churches you pass by, they've been closed by the pandemic. They've been closed by lack of funding. They've been closed by lack of people, but they are closed.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been left derelict. And the same thing was happening right here. The temple of God had been left derelict by his people for decades. They hadn't done anything. And it took a young man who had vision of thought to know that it was time to rebuild the temple of God. So we look at this, and we look at the scripture some more. So the 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 3 through 6. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 3 through 6. And the Bible says, during the 18th year that Josiah was king, that he sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah and the son of Meshullam, the secretary, to the Lord's temple. And Josiah said, go up to Hilkiah the high priest. Tell him that we must get the money that the people brought to the Lord's temple, and the gatekeepers collected the money from the people. And the priest must use that money to pay the workers to repair the Lord's temple. They must give this money to the men who supervise the work on the Lord's temple that use the money for the carpenters, the stone masons, and the stone cutters, also that the money might be used to buy timber and cut stones that are needed to repair the temple. What this again lets us know is the reason that you give money to the Lord's house is for the Lord's house. It's not for the preacher. It's not for his Cadillac. It's not for any of those kind of things. I told y'all this morning that my cousin tends to think that all preachers are crooks. Not if we're utilizing the Lord's money the way that it's supposed to be used. In this case, with this particular situation, Josiah has commissioned the money from the people to be used for the upliftment and the restoration of the Lord's temple. Amen? Amen. And we move forward. The Bible lets us know that according to this scripture, that the repair of the temple was preceded by a definite commandment to God, which when Josiah was 16, and then he gave that commandment to the people to have the temple rebuilt. So what we want to keep reading in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse number 8. Micaiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan the secretary, "Look, I found the book of the law in the Lord's temple." See, he was surprised. He was flabbergasted. He was astounded that the book of the law was in the church. Somebody say something to me. He was surprised that the book of God was in the church where it's supposed to be. Amen. When I read the things that are in my Bible, I'm just always amazed at how it reflects how the world looks to us now. When you tell people, "I feel like I need to do something to save my soul," and then you hear the word of God, and then you become baptized, and then now you are following the righteousness of Christ, and they are surprised. And these are the things that you are supposed to do. Amen. I got situations right now in my congregation where we're trying to reorganize the ministries that are there. And I had people working in certain ministries that were not even entering into the worship sanctuary like they are supposed to do. Amen. I feel like I'm talking to the wall, Jesus. When the things that they were supposed to do, and when we created a rotation that would allow those men and women to be able to enter into the sanctuary and worship God as they've been commanded to do, because why? We are people under a command. We are people that don't have a choice. When you are under a command, there is no choice. In a democracy, you have a choice. You are a part of a kingdom with a king, and the king has issued command. And because he's issued command, we are under that command. So when I reminded them of the command that they are to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. You know what happened, Brother Montgomery? They got mad at me. Mad, tight, and then stayed at home. Now, who you think that hurt? Brother Elder? Mm-hmm. Lord, no. Because you are people under what? Command. Amen. And because you under command, if you don't do the things that God has commanded you to do, John chapter 8, verse 21 lets us know that it is sin.
Amen.
And if you die in your sin where God is, you cannot go.
That's right.
So if you don't follow the command, I tried to tell them. Mm-hmm. It's just like being in the military. When the military officer gives you a command, what do you have to do?
Do it.
Follow it. Do you have a chance to sit with the general and say, "General, I don't think that I like the plan. I have a different plan, General." No. You can't go to God and say, "God, I don't like the plan. I think we need a different plan." God gonna say, "Hey, whatever you say, there's a lake of fire over there. Jump in. That must be what you want. Because I gave you what? A command."
Amen. No, the people, the word ain't got lost. People done got lost. Mm-hmm. And they done got lost bad. The scripture says this. In verse number 11, I'm going to start there. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes to show that he was upset and sad that the word had been lost so long. And then verse number 12, he then gave a command. Listen to the words. He gave a command to Hilkiah the priest, and Akim the son of Shaphan, and Akbar the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Asaiah the king's servant. And the king Josiah said, go and ask the Lord, what should we do? Ask for me, for the people, and all of Judea, and ask about the words of this book that was found. The Lord is angry with us because our ancestors did not listen to the words of this book. They did not obey all the commands that were written for us. Mm. This is the Old Testament, but you got people living in this society today that God is angry with. Amen. Why is he angry? Because they are not following the commands that are in the book. People want to say things like, I didn't know he said it. Mm. I didn't know we were supposed to do that. Why you don't know? It's in the book. The only way you can't know is if you don't read.
Amen.
And you don't attend. It's too many ways for you to get the word of God. Now, there was a time when it wasn't TV. There was no radio. There was no internet. It wasn't no Google. It wasn't no YouTube. It was a time. It was a time when it wasn't but three channels on TV. NBC, ABC, and what? CBS. That's it. That's where all your information came from. But now, through the grace of the mighty and holy and righteous God, you have the opportunity to access the Bible right off your phone. You don't have no excuse.
Amen.
You don't even have to read it. If you press a button on the phone will read it to you. How can it be lost? It can't be lost. It's at our fingertips.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord. I'm more excited than everybody. It's right here for us. I don't know how people are still avoiding it. But understand, when I use a word, please pay attention. It ain't lost. People are in a state of avoidance.
Amen.
They are avoiding the word. That's like right. The plague. Forget COVID-19. The word seems like they don't want no part of that. Because why? They're going to have to change their life.
That's right.
They're going to have to change their life. They don't want to change. Sinners like sin, you see? That's why they got the name sinners. They like it. They want to stay there. They don't want to move from there. It's too hard. I got to do stuff. Oh my God. But when it comes to the judgment, I keep telling y'all, I just hope I'm at the back of the line for some of y'all. I want to see what it is that people are going to say for the reasons that they didn't follow the gospel when it was available right in your fingertips. You don't even have to watch TV no more, Brother Montgomery. They got things now called a smart TV.
Amen.
Yeah, right. TV smarter than us. You don't even have to keep the internet on your computer. You can shoot it right to your TV. Mm-hmm. Right there for you. And you can have people over. You can invite people over. Give them the word. You ain't even got to talk. Just hit a button. And the TV will talk to you. This is the world we live in. And really, that should not just make you aware. It should give you a cause for pause. Because the scripture says, once everyone has heard the gospel,
amen.
Then that's the right. World will end.
Amen.
Coming to an end.
Woo.
Yeah.
And people think they got a lot of time to change stuff. Mm. So the scripture goes further. See, according to the scripture, there was to be a copy of the book of the law beside the Ark of the Covenant, beginning in the days of Moses. The word of God was with Israel, but it was greatly neglected in those days. It said in those days, it's greatly neglected now. Mm-hmm. The word of God was with Israel, and the neglect could only happen because Judah was in a prolonged disobedience to God. This world and this society is in a prolonged disobedience to God. Amen. Us as a society, us as a nation, us as a people, we are in a prolonged disobedience to God. And I promise you, God is not pleased. God is getting angry. There's a time in Genesis when he said he grew so angry that he was ashamed that he made man.
That's right.
Look at man now. Man is in a state of disarray and disbelief. And only because he has put himself there. This scripture lets us know that Judah neglected God and the word. The society we live in is neglecting God and the word. Mm-hmm. We can take a ride down to Raider Stadium. It's full. The game ain't even started yet. Mm-hmm. And the parking lot is full of people cooking. Barbecuing. We can't get people to come to the Lord's house unless we serve chicken. Mm-hmm. Where have our priorities gone? What's important to us?
Yeah.
And I'm not ragging on people that's football fans. You a football fan? I'm a football fan. But I know that the Cowboys can't take me to heaven.
That's right.
I know that. But we'll put our priorities on everything else. And it's going to be a sad situation in the day of the judgment. The Bible lets us know clearly. And as I begin to wrap this up, following men and following their causes has led to the Bible being lost to the people of this planet. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 13. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 13. And the Bible reads, there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, and from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great, has the great power of God. See how people get fooled mysteriously and easily? On the strip, there are two magicians. It's probably more magicians than that. But I know of the two, the one at MGM, and then the other one named Chris Angel. And I've actually seen his show. And I promise you, the stuff that he does looks mystifying. And it looks magnificent to us, because we are of the mortal mind and of the carnality that we exist in. But we should all know that magic ain't real. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
It's entertainment.
Yep.
But at this time, in this scripture, they were believing it. And not only were they believing it, they were calling it the power of God. So the scripture says this, and they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. So now, with his illusions, he was creating a preeminence with the people. He was getting some respect. He knew he was faking. He knew it wasn't real, but he allowed them to believe it was real. That's not uncommon with the things that you see on TV, with these televangelists, with these people that are on TV telling you that they know God, that they walk with God. Me and my wife was watching a movie the other day called The Pope's Exorcist. All of that's fake. Because we all know, according to the scripture, the demon ain't scared of us.
Right.
Demon ain't scared of us. I don't care how many times we call Jesus' name. In the scripture, when the man tried to approach the demon talked to the man through the other man, and the demon said, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you? And then he began to mess with the man, beat him up, and all kind of stuff. Same thing happened in this movie me and Shonda was watching. I said, oh, that's the first time I've ever seen these movies be according to the scripture. That demon threw that man out of there and said, the wrong priest. Need to bring Jesus in here. And again, we know again from scripture who the demons even know who Jesus is. The demons know Jesus and they fear and they tremble. When the man was at the graveyard and he was locked up in chains, because he was possessed by the demon of the legion. And he said, and when Jesus walked up, he was acting crazy, scratching himself. But when Jesus walked up, he got straight. He straightened up, didn't he? And he said, hey, Jesus, how you doing? Why are you out here messing with us? We just out here being crazy by ourselves before our time. And because they knew who he was, they didn't care that he was in the flesh. They knew who he was. The society of which we exist now act like they done forgot who Jesus is. The scripture says this. But when, verse number 12, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, he's preaching the gospel. I told you, when we preach the gospel is going to do what the gospel is going to do. We don't have to do a thing. So Philip is preaching the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Mm-hmm. Is that what your book say?
Amen.
Is that what your scripture say? Amen. The verse says in verse 13, then Simon himself also believed. So the deceiver, when faced with the truth, even he had to believe. And when he was baptized, when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. See, the deceiver stopped doing his magic tricks and started watching the real miracles happen. When we bring somebody to Christ, we don't have to do nothing special. We don't have to offer no praise team. We don't have to stand up and dance. We don't need nobody stomping in the church. We don't need none of that. We don't need the show.
Amen.
The word going to do what the word's going to do, and it's going to convince somebody. The scripture lets us know it's not going to convince everybody.
Amen.
And you don't have to worry about that. Your job is to give it to them. Your job is not to let the word become lost where it's supposed to be anyway. And I'm not talking about this building, Brother Montgomery. I'm talking about you are the church.
Amen.
So if the word is lost in the temple, you the temple.
Amen.
And if it's lost, you lost it.
Amen.
That's right.
And you need to hurry up and find it. Real quickly. I'm trying to get through it. My wife ordered, give me them eyes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, the Bible says this, and brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, or with wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul didn't come with all his pomp and circumstance. He didn't say I'm of the Sanhedrin. He didn't say I learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He didn't say those things. He said, I am a person who believed on Christ, and I'm coming to you as that person. You got people that show up in our assemblies, mm-hmm. want to let you know that they are doctor such and such.
Yes.
Master of divinity such and such.
Mm-hmm.
This, that, and the other. Paul said that ain't necessary, because it ain't about me, it's about him.
That's right.
And because it's about him, I don't have to give you my resume. The scripture says this. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He recognized and he knew, Paul understood, that if he removed himself from the equation and let the word pass through people, then the word was going to do what it was going to do. And it has the power to save. I'm not up here to tell you who I am. Y'all already know who I am. Gave y'all a bunch of my life, which include my wife. She always like, why are you always telling me your story? Because that's my life. And she is my life. But my life with her serves a God.
Amen.
And that's what I want people to see. I want them to see a good marriage. I want them to know I love her. But I want them to know she loves God more than me. And if you don't know that, ask her. And because we follow that hierarchy, God, Jesus, man, woman, because we follow that hierarchy, people look at that life and they say, I can do it too.
Amen.
Because your first ministry ain't in no words. It's in how you live.
That's right.
Paul is letting us know that if we want people to follow Christ, we have to first show them Christ. Don't be like Judah. Don't go into the temple forever and then pretend like you found something that was already there. You already know what it is. You already know where it is. Don't let that Bible be that book in your house that's just gathering dust. Pick it up. Use it. Utilize it in your life so that you can become, like that preacher told me, better. He didn't give me no specific instruction because that old preacher knew that the instruction was in the book. He didn't have to tell me what to do. The book was going to tell me what to do. And once I figured that out, I gave that old preacher a hug and I said, I didn't understand what you were saying, but I understand now. And you know what he said? I knew you were smart, boy. I believe in you all too. I believe that if you hear this word, you will share this word because you don't want to have it lost in your temple.
That's right.
We all going to have to face the judgment one day. We all going to have to stand before God, knees bowed and tongue confessing, because we going to have to explain how we lived our lives. Did we live it for God or did we live it in shame? Yeah. Don't lose your Bible. And if you lost it, it's time to find it. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible lets us know very very much so that there are five steps to salvation. And in those five steps, if one has never heard the gospel before, or if you stand a guilty distance from God, this is now the time that you need to listen to these words. The Bible lets us know that you must first hear the word of God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And then after you hear the word of God, the Bible says that you must believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For those who come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. And then the Bible says you must repent. Acts chapter 13 and verse 19 reads, repent ye therefore that ye may be converted, that you may be changed, that you may be converted, and that your sins may be blotted out in the times of refreshing shall come in the presence of the Lord. And then after you've repented, the Bible says that you must confess the sweetest name ever spoken on mortal tongue. And that name is the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse number 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us and just to, faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. All unrighteousness. And then the Bible says after you've heard, believe, repented, and confessed, you must be baptized in a watery grave of baptism. John chapter 3 and verse number 5. The Bible says, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is why we are tasked with giving somebody the word of God. Because if they want to go, they have to go down in the watery grave with him to be able to go. And then the Bible says you must commit your life to Christ for all the days you live. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. The Bible says that be faithful unto death and I will give you a crown of life. Again, if you never heard the word before or you stand a guilty distance, if you find yourself in anything that looks like sin, the doors of the church are open. We are ready. God is ready to receive you in repentance. Don't let this day go by if you need to change yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Live.